Are you resisting taking your practice online? Even though everyone and their dog and their cat is going online these days, somehow you feel maybe a bit overwhelmed by the tech, you feel a little bit of resistance, and maybe overall unsure. So I invited my friend and my personal health coach, Dr. Evan Hirsch, onto the podcast to talk about taking your practice virtually. So in today's podcast, we discuss why it is so important to go virtual right now and how it can actually improve the quality of your life. We discuss when do you know that it's time to go virtual, what are the benefits about going virtual, and what things do you need in place in order to go virtual. We also talk about the biggest thing that coaches and professionals struggle with when going virtual. And just in case you didn't know, you don't actually need to be a techie person in order to run your practice or coaching business virtually. Okay. So like I said, Dr. Evan Hirsch is my personal health coach. He has helped me so much personally with my health, but he is also a world-renowned fatigue expert and is the founder and CEO of the International Center for Energy and Fatigue and of the Virtual MD Initiative. He suffered with fatigue for 5 years before he achieved resolution using the Fix Your Fatigue program that he pioneered in his medical practice. Through his best-selling book, podcast, and online programs, he has helped thousands of people around the world optimize their energy naturally, and he is on a mission to help 1 million more. He also helps licensed functional medicine providers transition to successful virtual practices so they can have more impact, more success, and greater quality of life. He is board certified in family medicine and integrative medicine. And when he's not at the office, you'll find him singing musicals, which I love. I had no idea. You'll find him dancing and playing basketball with his family. So if you are one of those people who is resisting going virtual, or maybe you've just gone virtual and you're a little bit confused, maybe a little bit overwhelmed, this is the episode for you. So let's jump into it. Welcome to the Wealthy Coach Podcast, where I teach you how to become wealthy AF in your business, your mindset, your coaching, and your life. I'm your host, Kendra Perry. I am a former functional health coach turned online business mentor for health coaches, practitioners, and professionals. I'm here to help you grow the online business of your dreams by teaching you the strategy, the tech, and by helping you cultivate the mindset you need to be a badass health entrepreneur. I'm blunt, I'm to the point, and I'll probably drop an F-bomb or two, so fasten your seatbelts and get ready to become wealthy AF. Welcome to the show, Dr. Evan Hirsch. How's it going today?
Hey, Kendra. Thanks so much for having me on.
And what do you prefer to be called? Do you like Dr. Evan? Do you just like Evan? Do you like the doctor? What's your favorite?
You can call me whatever you want, as long as you don't call me late for dinner. No, that's a bad one. Dr. Evan is always a good one. But, you know, in a lot of what I do, I'm actually Coach Evan. I'm not allowed to call myself a doc when I'm operating across state lines. So I'm sure we'll get into that.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So I'm really excited to dive into our topic today. Very relevant for 2020, moving into 2021. A lot of people are sort of being forced into the online space these days because the world is a very interesting place right now. And so I would love to know how, because I know you, well, just to explain to the audience, like I met you, I think on the 360 Health Biz podcast, my other podcast when we interviewed you, and then I brought you into one of my group programs as a guest expert, and then I asked you to be my coach. You were actually my health coach, which is a super fun piece of information. And I know you're in the fatigue space, but now you're actually helping practitioners and health professionals. So can you tell me a little bit more about how you kind of ended up doing that?
Absolutely. So back in April 2020, when everything was going down with the pandemic, I had a lot of practitioners who were reaching out to me because they knew that I was virtual. I had gone virtual back in 2018, and they wanted to know how to go virtual because all of a sudden everybody's in quarantine and they're not able to see their patients, their clients in their brick and mortar, and they've got to figure out what to do. So at that point, I started taking on clients one-on-one. I developed a program, and the rest is history.
That's amazing. And so what do you think, why do you think in 2020, and I guess going into 2021, it's probably 2021 when this episode drops, why do you think it's so important to consider virtual if people haven't already gone virtual?
So, and your audience, or the people who are going to be listening to this, are largely health coaches who might be practicing in brick and mortars as well as virtual already. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We have, I'd say 80% are probably unlicensed health coach, and the other 20% are sort of like the dietitian, the doctor, the pharmacist kind of fit into that sort of licensed area. And I would say a lot are online, but there's probably some who are still resisting moving online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I would say that, you know, having a virtual practice gives you a lot of flexibility. You know, yeah. You can still have a brick and mortar. You know, when I was doing this transition, I still had an office that mm-hmm. I would go to, because so it was outside of my home because I didn't have a place in my home. So I would go there and I would be over video with people.
Right.
So it's still, you know, but you can do it from anywhere, which is really nice. It mm-hmm. decreases your overhead. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was, $2,000-$4,000 a month of overhead that I had just for keeping the lights on in a building. Thank goodness I was able to sell that building when I did. So that's another thing, is, you know, staying as lean as possible. Travel is a lot easier, obviously. So there's just a lot of advantages to it. And I highly recommend that people have it as a component of their practice, even if it's not 100%. But it just allows everything to just, I feel, to be a lot smoother, allows me to leverage my time better and just have more fun with the work that I'm doing.
Yeah. And I love that you said leverage time. I used to have an office space as well when I first got started. I toyed around with a few different office spaces. I would kind of give them up and be like, fuck it. And then I would like, you know, be like, no, I want it. And I'd like go back to it. And I was like all over the map with it. But one thing I really did notice is that when you are working away from home, you have to add in that like commuting time, mm-hmm. the looking nice time, right? The packing your lunch time, all those sorts of things. And it's so nice to work from home, where like right now I've got my yoga pants on and a toque on, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. And I think, and if you guys can't see the video, but Dr. Evan is pointing to his pants, probably because he's not wearing any.
No, I am. I'm just wearing jeans.
Right? Okay, cool. You never know.
Slippers,
you never know.
Right. But yeah, you never know.
Yeah. And I love like that flexibility too, because it's true. Like the world is very uncertain right now. Depending on where you live in the world, there's all these crazy restrictions that seem to come and go and come out of nowhere. So I guess if you are flexible, even if you're not willing to go full virtual, you at least have that flexibility if you need to use it, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the low overhead model is the biggest thing during uncertain times. You know, how do you get super lean so that if you have lean months, it's not going to destroy your business?
Yes. And I love running a lean business. And I just want to differentiate. There's a difference between cheap and lean. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good to run a cheap business. And I think a lot of coaches end up trying to do this because they're trying to do everything for free. That's not good. But you can run a lean business. And I think what Dr. Evan means by that is just spending money on the necessary things and not doing all the fancy extras. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And automating as much as you can. You know, obviously the biggest expense is usually your rent or your mortgage, mm-hmm. you know, so if you don't have that, that can, and then obviously the, your employee salaries, you know, and
right.
So I have assistants who are in the Philippines, and there's a number of reasons why I've chosen to do that, but you can get, you know, really good quality, employees, in other countries for less cost. And that also helps you to stay lean.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm always telling my people to outsource. I think people get really scared with hiring because they think, well, I need to be making money to be spending money. But the amount of time you can give yourself, and mm-hmm. there's so many good resources out there that actually allow you to hire people where your exchange rate goes a long ways, right? My first assistant, I think, was $7 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's like 2.5 in the Philippines. I mean, it's like $500 a month for full-time work. Mm. And there's just a lot of benefits too. I mean, they're smart and they're loyal and there's, you know, culturally, it's just a really nice fit, and they do great work.
Yeah, I agree. I have a few people from the Philippines as well. And I mean, they're some of the hardest workers. They do great work. They speak English incredibly well. And like, right. you know, as long as the time change isn't an issue, then there's, right. You can find really great help that way. So thank you for mentioning that. So mm-hmm. I'd love for you to tell us, okay, so we know like the benefits of going virtual, but is there something that would tell you, would there be like a sign from the universe that would tell you that it's time to go virtual?
Absolutely. So it's the I'm not happy sign. Mm. It's the I'm frustrated sign. It's when you turn around and you look at your business and you see a lot of things that you don't like doing. Now, there are some things that you need to do that you don't like doing. Like, I'm not great at keeping track of my data. You know, fortunately, I've got an assistant who fills that spreadsheet. And then just once a week, I need to look at that fucking spreadsheet. And sometimes I still don't look at that spreadsheet, right? So, yeah. So there are certain barriers to that. But things like, for me, when I was in my brick and mortar, it was like taking insurance, you know, handling HR issues, problems with the building. You know, there was potentially some mold under the building. Like were spraying outside, you know, pesticides and whatnot. So there were so many things that I was like, okay, things that I don't want in my business. And then what are the things that I do want in my business? And this was a good exercise to do no matter where you are in your business, right?
Yeah.
To continue to fine tune, to make sure you're working with the people you want to be working with and your business looks the way that you want it to look like. So it's basically just the unhappiness factor or the frustration factor that people need to consider making a change and going through a process to do it, whether it's virtual or something else. This is a lot of that mindset piece that you're talking about. Like, what is the vision for your life, right? Mm-hmm. Life is short. Go ahead and, you know, you have to take that step and you have to start making those changes.
Yeah, I agree. And definitely for all our newbies out there, there's a lot of stuff in the beginning that you're doing yourself that you hate doing. Mm-hmm. And then there's that resistance piece of like, I don't want to hire, I need to be doing this. There's that control, like I can't delegate, like I'm the only one who can do this, or it's faster for me to just do it on my own, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I think a lot of coaches get stuck in that sort of unhappiness, but there's so much opportunity to change things, right? There's so many resources. There's so many people who can help you. There's so many, you mentioned the word automation, which I think scares a lot of people in this audience, but it's actually amazing. You don't even know.
Automation is automazing.
Yeah. I love that. And so could you discuss maybe, because I think when people transition from like maybe like going to a job every day, whether that's maybe some corporate job, but maybe just their own office as sort of an in-person coach or health professional, what are some of the challenges they might come up against? Because I know people are very like fearful that they won't be motivated, or, you know, what are some of the challenges that they might face?
Yeah, so it's really interesting that you asked this question, because today I actually spent a lot of my day restructuring my calendar. And a lot of it's around the idea from Strategic Coach. You know, they didn't originate it, but they talk about, you know, having focus days and buffer days and free days. So there are a lot of people who have their own business who don't take any free days. You know, you're just working 7 days a week, especially if you don't have kids or you don't have a spouse or whatever. It's very easy to work 7 days a week. And there's a lot of value to taking at least one free day off a week where you're just not looking at work at all. It helps to breed creativity and spontaneity and all sorts of things that you're going to need in your business. So those are the free days, you know, one or two completely free days. And then there's the focus days. So there's the days where you need long blocks of time in order to create content, in order to think. You know, there's a famous story of a guy who's going through a big merger, and somebody said to him, hey, I need an answer on this merger. And he looked at his calendar and he said, I can give you an answer tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. because he knew he had thinking time from 6 to 7. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to kind of have these blocks, whether they're a full day or whether they're a half day. And then buffer time is kind of this time where you're scheduling your meetings, your interviews, whatever it is that you're kind of like jumping from one thing to the next. So having structure, I would say, is something that's really important working from home. The other thing is having boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like right now on my door, I have a door hang that says do not disturb, you know, so my family knows, If it does, if it's not hanging there, I will see or hear the door kind of creak open, and they'll look and they'll see if I'm having a conversation with somebody, and they'll either come in or not. You have to just make sure that you've got good boundaries, and if you've got a lock on that door, even better. I don't, but it would be nice. Having a dedicated workspace. So I have a room that is dedicated to my workspace. There is a treadmill that is right here that my wife uses on occasion, but this room is really dedicated to my office. So that's another important one. I think there's some other ones, but I think those are the big ones.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that you mentioned the differentiating between tasks. I call this sort of like creative versus manager tasks, right? The creative would be, creating content or creating programs. Like it requires your creative power. And you're right, you need those big blocks of time to put aside to be able to have that thinking time versus the manager task, which is like ticking things off your to-do list, like answering an email, like, linking a funnel or something along those lines. And I really recommend that people don't combine those because they require different parts of your brain. And the creative tasks require so much more of your creative power and also like energetic power that if you're jumping from one task to the next, I really think people get burned out that way, and just start to go crazy. So, for me personally, like I'm more creative in the morning. So that's where I set out that time. I do all my stupid mundane tasks at the end of the day where I'm like half asleep and I'm just kind of like, kind of getting it done. But I also love that you mentioned like taking that time off because I think what a lot of new business owners struggle with is guilt, right? I feel guilty if I'm not working. Like I need to be working. I'm not making money. I don't deserve the time off. But I think, like you're saying, it's very detrimental, right? You need that time to just disengage.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there was something that you also said about motivation, which I wanted to mention just briefly. You have to figure out also if you're social, whether you're an introvert, extrovert, I'm kind of somewhere in between. But I don't have a problem being at home and not talking with people. I got a wife and a kid, and that's really enough for me. I'm very satisfied. I have some one-on-ones. I've got some group calls with people, so I do have communication with other people, but you have to kind of figure out what you need. I do find that if I want to be in a collegial environment, that joining a mastermind, joining a group program is really helpful, is really important. So if you do need additional motivation, and we can talk more about this later, like you kind of have to. I'm a big fan of ready, fire, aim, where you kind of have to put the cart before the horse, and you have to start investing in something that is going to take you in a direction that you want to go. So like, I want to be a great singer. I have a voice teacher, right? My daughter wants to be an actor. We hired an acting coach. Like, you have to invest in these things. If whatever you want to be good at, you have to invest in. So if you want to be good in your business, you have to hire a business coach. It's just kind of like how it goes. And I found that like the more money that I've spent on myself and my business over time, the better my business has been. And the sooner, I wish I knew that 5, 10 years ago, right? That it was directly related to, like, if I spent this amount of money, I was going to get this amount of results, and if I spent more, I was going to get more results, right? So that's an interesting lesson that kind of feeds into that in terms of motivation and community and getting the outcomes that you want.
I completely agree. And I also wish I had known that earlier because I didn't hire a coach till I think I was maybe 2 years in or something along that. And as soon as I hired that coach, I started hitting 10K months within about 6 months. And it was so crazy. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't do this earlier. But I think the rut that a lot of coaches are in is that they think they can just do it themselves. But it is crazy how many things you have to learn. And online marketing, as I know you know, is a really crazy and confusing beast. This episode of the Wealthy Coach Podcast is brought to you by my online course, Signature Program RX. So you are currently selling one-off sessions and you are realizing that this is a, shitty business model, and you're looking to create a program, something that's worth more, something that you can charge more, then that is what I teach you how to do inside Signature Program RX. So inside this online course, We take a deep dive into how to build out your signature program, how to make it truly transformational. We'll talk about the components that you should put in it. We're going to talk about how to price it for profit and not poverty. I'm going to teach you how to name it, and then I'm going to teach you how to talk about it so that it attracts your ideal client and helps you make more sales. So if you want to build up your program, you want a little bit of help, you can get my mini training, Signature Program RX, and I will link to the link that you need to get this training in the show notes for this episode.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've spent a couple $100,000 on my business education just in like the last 2 to 3 years. And, you know, each one, you know, a sales training and, you know, a mindset training and a messaging training and like all those disparate things that you need to know in order to be able to build a good system.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you can DIY it, but I think it's going to take you years. So right. It really depends how much time and money. How long can you be broke and how much time do you want to spend?
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to bring it back to going virtual. So maybe there's some people listening who, you know, maybe they're thinking of going virtual. Maybe they haven't gone virtual yet, but it feels maybe overwhelming, like a big task. Like, are there a bunch of things that you actually need in place first before you go virtual?
So I'm a fan of baby steps. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, much like I mentioned before, like, you know, you think about you have to change your workflow a little bit. But one of the first things that you can do is if you are in a brick and mortar, you just start seeing people over Zoom. That's like the first thing that you change. Right. And then you can figure out what your workflow is going to be from that. But this is one of those things that happens during those focus days, is sitting down and being like, okay, from the moment that, you know, what is the customer journey? From the moment that somebody hits your website, what does that path actually look like? You know, if people have, you know, I had a front desk person and I had a medical assistant and I had all this, you know, support that was in-house. And so the question was, okay, when I flipped the switch and I went to having Zoom meetings with people, then how did I transfer them over? And then how much of that other stuff was actually needed? I was actually scared to do my own scheduling because I thought, it took so long because my front desk person always took 15 to 30 minutes per people when they were checking them out. And for me, when I was scheduling them, once I automated my labs and I automated my supplements, it takes, you know, 2 minutes to say, hey, how about this appointment on this day at this time? And 9 out of 10 times, they're going to say that works great. Yeah. You know, and I was so nervous to start scheduling people, but it took no time. So there's a lot of things I think that people think too, if somebody else is doing it for you, that it's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's not.
Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned scheduling, because I used to schedule people. Like when I got into my business, I think it was 2012. It was kind of like, there were online schedulers, but I didn't really know how to use them. There were no like mainstream ones. And I would literally go back and forth with people over email. You'd spend 10 emails. Like, can you do this time? No, I can't. Can you do this time? No, I can't. What about this time? No, that's not available. And just like back and forth. And it's crazy the amount of time. And this really goes to speak to this automation piece, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think you could define automation for the audience and tell us why they should embrace it? Because I think it scares them.
So let's see, put me on the spot. So the definition of automation.
I want the legit dictionary definition. I
know. I'm pulling it out. Where's my Wikipedia? It is, in my opinion, it's going to be a task that you do that you can use technology to do for you. Mm. So I was going to initially say that it was a task that you do regularly or you know, on a frequent basis, but it can really be any task.
Yeah.
And you're leveraging technology to do it for you. So I think your example of using an online calendar is huge. I mean, like, saves so much incredible time. And I wonder if you could just kind of fill me in on what people are actually afraid of, because I don't have that perspective. And so I'd be curious about a little bit, know more about a little bit about it.
Yeah. So I think where they're afraid is the tech, right? They are afraid of like the tech that is required or these quote unquote tech skills that they think they need in order to set this stuff up. And just the fear of the tech and even having to go down that rabbit hole is enough that they don't even automate. Like, I have a couple clients in my mastermind. We're almost at the end of this year-long mastermind, and they still are doing everything manually because they are so resistant to getting something like Practice Better or some other sort of platform like online scheduler that will actually like automate these things, because they're doing all the onboarding like manually.
That's helpful. Yeah. So, so then a lot of it is, you know, what you talk about in your programs and what I talk about is mindset. So obviously there is some sort of block there that when you open up, you know, whenever you open up a block, it ends up adding dollars. It's like creating a funnel for money to come into your business every time you bust through some sort of mindset block. So yeah, you have to realize also that you're not alone, and you have to realize what is happening in that moment when you decide that it's too much or you're getting overwhelmed. You know, if you're looking at Calendly and you're trying to decide, you know, which online scheduler you're going to use, which online calendar, and maybe you're like me and you want to create a spreadsheet that looks at like all of these different features that they have, or maybe that overwhelms you. And so what you actually need to do is to just copy somebody else. So when I actually first started my brick and mortar, there was a guy who was in a micro practice, family practice group that I was a part of online back in the early days of the internet. And I just copied his systems. I said, I want to make sure that I've got systems that flow through to each other. Didn't know what I was doing, but I knew he did. He said it worked great. I'm like, I'm just going to copy that guy. So you just copy somebody. And then if you have questions, if you want to tweak things later, you can. And YouTube is your absolute best friend. Whenever you feel a barrier coming up around any technology, you just go into YouTube and you just start asking YouTube questions, watch a video, and you're just narrowing down on what is actually the question that you have about the software. Mm-hmm. How do I do blank? How to use Calendly, you know, tutorial on Calendly, and you'll just get familiar. And that's, I think, you know, so much. 70% of becoming capable in tech is asking YouTube a good question.
Yeah, you mentioned so many little gems in that. And the first thing was basically connecting this fear of tech as a mindset thing, because I totally agree. And I say this all the time, like, it's a mindset block. If you want an online business, you're going to have to learn the tech. So stop describing yourself as non-techie or tech illiterate. Everyone has to learn it. And we are all capable of learning it. And, you know, me and Dr. Evan, like, we didn't emerge from the womb as like tech experts, right? I definitely didn't. Like, I didn't have internet until I was in my early 20s, didn't have a cell phone until I was in my mid 20s. You know, like, I had to learn all this stuff too. And I remember it being hard and it being frustrating. And also, when I was learning this, it was like 2011, 2012, and like the resources weren't there as much compared to 2020. YouTube, like Dr. Evan said, is gold. Like, you can literally learn anything there. So, and then I also love that you said just copy someone, because with my online scheduler, the first one that I had was one, I don't know if it's still around, it's called Snap Appointments. And the only reason I used it is because I saw someone else using it. So I was like, great. And it was free. So I was like, sweet. And I figured it out. But yeah, I think everyone can learn the tech. I have had clients who are in their 60s who barely knew how to turn on a laptop, and they are now running online businesses. So
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I was proud of that one.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely something you can learn. And you kind of just have to embrace it. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It's like, I remember when I was doing my yoga teacher training, they would say, don't like the posture, love it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you just have to embrace it. You know, and there was, what was it? When I was in college, I came home on spring break one time, and I told my family that I wouldn't respond to them unless they addressed me by the word nerd, because I was embracing my inner nerd. It was my junior year in college, and I was taking organic chemistry, and I was like, I didn't like spending so much time in the library, but I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I got to love it. You know, and so you just have to step into it and be like, I am a tech guru and I can figure this shit out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, once you figure it out, you figure it out. You know, like most platforms are similar. As long as they're like not a complete disaster, you can typically figure out most platforms. So it's really just about learning it once and then you're pretty good from moving forward.
Right.
But the longer you resist it, the longer it's going to take.
Right.
So tell me, Dr. Evan, about like, how do you actually work with your clients? Like if someone is wanting to move their practice virtually and they come into one of your, because I believe you have a group program, what does that look like? Like what types of things are you focusing on in your program?
So I have a 5-step process that I take people through. And it is in a group environment now. The first step is going to be mindset. You know, and that is really about helping people figure out kind of what they want out of life first and foremost. And then you fit your practice into that, right? It's not that your practice is adjusting to your, or your life is adjusting to your practice. You want your practice to adjust to your life so that you're actually able to achieve everything that you want personally and professionally, right? So I have people go through a process of creating their ideal virtual practice and then creating their daily mindset practice where we're working on gratitudes and visioning and empowering beliefs and asking, making sure we're asking ourselves empowering questions. Looking at their spiritual vision, like what's their world vision? Are they on a mission to help 1 million people resolve their fatigue like I am? Or is there something that, you know, really speaks to them? What is their why, right? And then creating a lifestyle income plan, you know, so like what is, like if you want to make a certain amount of money, you've got to have a reason for it. Yeah. So whether it's a Tesla or whether it's a new house or whether it's a dog or whether it's college tuition, whatever it is, there's no judgment. It's just, you just have to make a list of that so that you can be successful because the universe doesn't know what it's going to give you unless you actually ask for it. So that's the first step is the mindset. And then it's really getting into niching and what is your ideal client and how do you separate yourself in the marketplace? You know, how do you name your business? You know, what should your coach name be so that you are in fact separating yourself and making yourself more easily seen online? And like, what's the rollout strategy that you should do? Like, do you want to end up working with groups so that you can leverage your time better? Well, you got to start with one-on-one so you make sure that you know what you're doing. But then what does that rollout strategy look so that you can end up with groups? I mean, at this point, I actually just made a change today when I was working on my calendar because I ran my numbers and I saw, because I've been moving away from the one-on-ones, and it used to be that I was seeing 4 people per week, and now it looks like I'll be able to see 3 people per week, you know, and bring in 30, this last month, it was 35K per month, you know, and that's, you know, just that's one-on-ones, 3 people per week on one-on-ones. And then the rest is groups and some other stuff. So that's the step 2 in like the ideal client and messaging. And then step 3 goes into the legalities. And so for people who are like me, who are licensed practitioners, you cannot practice across state lines using your license. Those are all state dependent. So you have to practice as an unlicensed coach and you have to separate those out. So sometimes that means 2 businesses. Sometimes that means completely switching over to being a coach and making sure that you're abiding by the laws so that you can have the business that you want and obviously not go to jail for it. And that's an important part of this, right?
Sure is.
And then step 4 is the tech stuff. So this is kind of getting more into your funnel, you know, so like, what is this customer journey? You know, when people land on your website or they listen to you on a podcast, you know, what happens when they come to your website and then you get on a call with them, you know, you have them fill out a pre-call questionnaire before that and they schedule and then you get on a call with them and you enroll them. So that's all kind of part of the funnel. And so, you know, one of my favorite software, speaking of tech, is called Kartra. And I love it because it's an all-in-one and it's really easy to use. And so actually when people sign up for Kartra using my affiliate link, I give them all of my funnels. I give them all the tech and tell them how to use it. Because I find that that's one of those big barriers when people are coming into my program is that tech piece. And so, like I have it's building my website and it's hosting my courses and my programs. It's my shopping cart. It's like all this stuff. So I save like $400 a month using it because I don't need Infusionsoft or ActiveCampaign or Thinkific or HasOffers because it's got an affiliate section and like all this sort of stuff. So it's really cool. I had to plug that software because it's really awesome. Then it's getting into marketing, which is free marketing or paid marketing. Then it's enrollment. What is the scripting? What should the scripting be to authentically enroll people so you don't feel like a salesperson or a sleazy salesperson? Because there's nothing wrong with selling. Selling actually, and its root, it comes from to serve, right? So if we flip it on its head and we remember that we are actually serving people and that helping them make a decision that's in their best interest, whether it's my program or somebody else's, is really where it's at. And then step five is delivering the program, which is just about what sort of electronic medical record do you use? How do you automate your lab? So I've got a lab store and I've got a supplement store in the States, and then I also have one in the UK, and I just got one in New Zealand to serve all the people that we have over the globe. So that's my five-step process.
Yeah, and as someone who has like gone is in your like I'm as you are my health coach, I've like seen all these automations and these stores, and I do love how you do it. It's very easy and it's all in one place. And so with that whole process, like where would you say that your clients, what's the hardest for them? Where do they usually like get the most stuck? I'm curious.
Where do they get the most stuck? I think it's probably the tech. I mean, it's so interesting though, because it's the tech and it's the niching. Like the niching is like the hardest thing for people. They think they're gonna leave so much money on the effing table, right? Because they're niching down, and it's just absolutely the complete opposite. I tell people like, what are people Googling when they have a problem? How do I fix my hair loss? How do I fix my thyroid issue, right? They come home from the doctor, they have a diagnosis, and that's kind of what they're Googling. Or they have a symptom, that's what they're Googling. They're not Googling functional health coach in my area, right?
They don't even know what a functional health coach is.
Exactly, right? Yeah, and like functional medicine doc in my area, that's only after they've read like a Mark Hyman book,
Yeah,
right?
totally.
So you have to niche down, and then you have to get comfortable, like we've been talking about with the tech, and you just have to budget the time. And some of this stuff, like we talked about initially with the focus time, you need expanses of time. Like this can't happen like an hour here, an hour there. You need to take a good 4 hours chunk, sort of thing, multiple times to figure some of this stuff out. And yes, you're gonna feel like it takes forever, but it takes forever for everybody when you're figuring this stuff out.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's the exact same thing that my clients struggle with too. It's the tech is big, but yeah, the niching. I just like I'm like hammering niching down their throat, and just like we talk about it for so long, and I feel like I'm like this niche Nazi. I don't know if I can say that in 2020, but I just did. And like, just because it's just like you have to have the niche. If the niche is off, the business is going to be off and you're going to struggle. People aren't going to understand what you do and they're not going to get it, right? So the niche is so important. And yeah, I'm glad you talked about how tricky it is, because you're right. People do think they are leaving money on the table. They think they're excluding people. They think, it's going to prevent people from working with them. But I always like to give the example, like I have a course that teaches hair tissue mineral analysis. How random is that? It's so random. It makes the most money out of anything in my business, and I do nothing for it because it's so hyper niched, right? Like the money is really in the niches or niches if you're Canadian.
I was gonna say, I'm glad you pronounced it correctly because I know that I'm not, because my French is very limited.
Yeah. Is it actually niche? Is that actually the correct way to say it?
Yeah,
Oh, cool. Well, that makes me
I'm pretty darn sure, yeah.
feel good. Awesome. And if people were interested in working with you, how could they connect with you? Where do you like to hang out online?
So I am at virtual-md.org. and they can learn all about what I do. But what's going to be even better is that I'm going to give you a link and you can post that below. And so that it makes it easier for folks to just click on that and they can come check out my stuff. And I got some free stuff on the website, you know, like envisioning your ideal day is just a free download that kind of gives you an example about what I offer. But yeah, go virtual or go home. No.
I love that. I love it. That's like your tagline. That's so great. That's right. Yeah. And I'll make sure to have all those links in the show notes. And I also just want to say, I love that you have a freebie on envisioning your ideal day, because I often ask people that and they have no idea. They're just like, I don't know. I'm like, well, if you don't know what it looks like, then how are you going to like build a business you actually want to be running? Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me today, Dr. Evan. I really, really appreciate your time. And thank you everyone who is listening. We will be back in 1 week from today, next Monday, for the Wealthy Coach podcast, where I help you become wealthy as fuck. Thank you so, so much for tuning in. And I'm wondering, do you want to help me with my mission to end health coach poverty? Because if you do, I need all the help I can get, and all I need is 2 minutes of your time. If you could leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, that would help so much. These reviews help get my podcast in front of more people, which means that I can reach more health coaches and complete my mission. Thank you so much for your help, and I can't wait to talk to you in the next episode.